Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the AB Science Web Conference. I will now hand over to Alain Moussy, Julien Tailleb, and Olivier Hermine. Gentlemen, please go ahead.
Thank you for the introduction. So welcome to the AB Science Web Conference, where we're going to talk about masitinib in pancreatic cancer based on the recent clinical study results. So good morning, good afternoon, or good evening for all our participants from the United States and Europe. Along with me, there will be, and Laurent, you can go. Laurent is helping me with the slideshow. You can go on slide three. So along with me, there will be two KOLs, Dr. Julien Tailleb, head of the gastroenterology department at Hôpital Georges Pompidou, one of the largest hospitals in cancer in France, and specializing in pancreatic cancer. And Olivier Hermine, Professor Olivier Hermine, who is the president of our scientific committee at AB Science and is professor of hematology at Hôpital Necker and member of the Academy of Science. And they are there to present and also respond to your questions at the end of the presentation. Next slide. So I'm going to hand over to Olivier for the scientific rationale. Olivier, we're on slide four.
Okay, so hello everybody, and I will try to explain to you in few slides what is the rationale on the effectiveness of masitinib in pancreatic cancer. So we know that in tumor there is some kind of infiltration by immune cells in the tumor, and particularly mast cells and macrophages, which are critical components of the tumor microenvironment, which may promote angiogenesis, tumor growth, and also contributes to the tumorigenesis by suppression of the immune response against the tumor. So in this inflammatory microenvironment, mast cells might be envisioned as cells which may orchestrate the tumor microenvironment, and specifically in a pancreatic cancer, because they may also promote some growth factor to induce the proliferation and the invasion and the metastasis of tumor pancreatic cells. And this crosstalk between mast cells and pancreatic cells may contribute to the progression of pancreatic ductal adenocarcinoma, and mast cells may contribute in this regard to the aggressiveness of the pancreatic tumors because they produce pro-angiogenic factors, and it has been shown in various publications. And by releasing of pro-tumoral factors, also mast cells may promote the progression of pancreatic cells, and it has been shown that the number of mast cells is a prognosis factor of poor survival in pancreatic cancer. In addition, mast cells may produce some cytokines which may skew the polarization of tumor-associated macrophages, and we know that the M1 are of a good prognosis by preventing the progression of the tumor, and the M2 is of bad prognosis by promoting the angiogenesis and the progression of the tumor. And mast cells is able to skew this polarization towards the M2 bad prognosis macrophages. And we know that masitinib is a highly selective inhibitor of mast cell survival and activation, and by this way may modulate mast cell-related remodeling of the tumor microenvironment, thereby inhibiting the tumor growth and also redirect the immune system toward anti-TH1 and M1 phenotype, which prevents the progression of the tumor. So second thing, which is very important to know, is that in pancreatic cancer, we know they are always and often associated with pain. And pain is, for us, a flag of increased mast cell activity within the tumor microenvironment, which in turn, as we previously said, may induce the progression of the tumor. So pain might be seen as a prognosis factor reflecting the mast cell activation and the pro-tumoral immune response. And it has been shown that mast cell degranulation mediates cancer-induced pain, and that this pain is a clinical predictor of poor prognosis in pancreatic cancer. We know that mast cell infiltration is strongly implicated with development of neuropathic pain in pancreatic cancer, and mast cells contribute to the hyper sensitivity and degranulation at the vicinity of the tumors. So by this way, mast cell by producing proteases may induce cancer pain, which is known, and also may produce some factors which may remodel the neuronal infiltration in a pancreatic tumoral microenvironment. So it has been shown in regard to these physiopathology mechanisms that pain is associated with increased tumor recurrence and decrease overall survival. So we can make the hypothesis that pain intensity correlate to disease progression and significantly of poorer survival rate in pancreatic cancer. So in order to block this mast cell activation in the hope to reduce the pain and to reduce the tumor progression, and we can see pain as a surrogate marker of mast cell activity, we have used and developed a kinase inhibitor, which name is masitinib, which is able to block mast cell activation. And masitinib is a very peculiar kinase inhibitor, different from the other one in the market, because it is a potent selective inhibitor of c-KIT, which block mast cell proliferation, differentiation, and activation. But in addition, it blocks two sarcokinases, lean and fin, which are very critical for mast cell degranulation and mast cell proliferation. So it has been shown in previous work that masitinib is able to block mast cell activation, and which may play a role in inflammatory disease and also in oncology. But in addition, we have shown that because masitinib blocks MCSF-R1 receptors, is able to block macrophages skewing to the M1 phenotype. So here we have a dual activity, blocking mast cell activation and blocking the skewing of macrophages. So we hope that we can block the two mechanisms that we have described earlier regarding the pain and mast cell activation. So on the slide 7, we have shown that masitinib is not able to block various cell lines, tumoral cell lines, ex vivo. So the effect of masitinib is not to block directly the cell proliferation in various models of epithelial cancer. But very surprising and interestingly, in accordance to our hypothesis, in vivo, in mice model, when we inject this tumor in mice, and if we do treat this mice with masitinib, you see a dramatic reduction of tumor volume, which is very important and very unique to masitinib. And we have shown that this decrease of cell proliferation translates in increase of overall survival. And to make a long story short, we have shown that this tumor, we do see no more mast cells, and we see M1 microenvironment upon treatment by masitinib, which explains and demonstrates that we have hypothesized before. So based on this data, we have moved to clinical development of masitinib in pancreatic cancer.
Thank you, Olivier. So now we move to slide 8, which describes the clinical development plan of masitinib in pancreatic cancer. So it's made of three clinical studies. The first one, called AB05034, is a phase 2A with 22 patients. It was an introduction for safety, essentially, of our compound in pancreatic cancer. Then we engage into a phase 3, 7012, at 9 mg per kg per day of masitinib in combination with GEM. We'll come back to it just to refresh the results of this clinical study. And then this new study, AB12005, which is the second phase 3 program, at a lower dose of 6 mg per kg per day. Next slide is the data of the first phase 3 study, so 7012, which was hypothesis generating. In this study, we could not demonstrate, which recruited all patients suffering from pancreatic cancer. We did not see any significant increase in survival for masitinib. Again, the design was masitinib plus gemcitabine versus placebo plus gemcitabine, gemcitabine being the standard of care, with 348 patients. So as you can see, no advantage in survival, 7.0 median survival for the placebo, for gemcitabine alone, and 7.7 with masitinib. However, in a subgroup called the patients with pain, which actually match the scientific rationale described by Olivier, you can see that first, the placebo group has a reduced survival, a median of 5.4 months instead of 7.0, so a reduction of 1.6 months median, and masitinib reversed this poor prognosis and generated a median of 8.0 months. And so this is an additional 2.6 in the subgroup of pain. So the hypothesis was consistent with the scientific rationale, and we thought that masitinib could be used in pancreatic cancer with pain. So we engage into a next study, next slide please, which is the design of study 12005, where we recruited patients only with pain, consistent with the previous study, 7012, with at a lower dose because we estimated that the first dose, 9 milligram, was a little bit too high and created some discontinuation. So the design is patients with pain, 377 patients. The primary endpoint is, of course, survival. And the main inclusion criteria is pain or the use of opioid, because it lacks also pain. In first line, again, with gemcitabine for everybody, and then masitinib versus placebo randomized 2-to-1. Next slide is the statistical analysis plan. So we actually have tested the overall population with pain and also a subgroup which is made of the locally advanced patients, unresectable, which is a subgroup of all patients. There are, on the one hand, the metastatic patients, on the other hand, the ones who are unresectable but are not metastasized yet. And it was important to distinguish those ones because, of course, we consider masitinib as an anti-metastatic drug, and so maybe with more efficacy in patients who have not metastasized yet. So it was important to test the two together. We had, so to speak, the alpha, and the threshold was 2.5% and 2.5%. The stratification factors are as they is on this slide, and we analyze the population on the MITT, which consists of the ones who have taken at least one treatment and have the necessary pain. At least it excludes four patients who have no impact in the overall analysis if we add them back. So you can see the split of the population, 383 patients and 92 in locally advanced. Next slide is the baseline characteristic. I'm not going to spend time on this one, just to notice that everything is balanced, including the variables that could impact the survival, like ECOG, for instance. Next slide is the results of the primary analysis, so we're on slide 13, and we observe no benefit in the population, the overall population with pain, which is not so a confirmation of the hypothesis we had in the first study. However, we can see that the study demonstrated a significant increase in survival in the subgroup, which was pre-specified, the unresectable locally advanced. So in the unresectable locally advanced, we can see that the p-value is p is equal to 0.0070, so less than 1%, an additional survival median of 1.8 months, and a reduction of the risk, it's called a hazard ratio, of 54% of the risk of death, with median survival being 11.2 months with masitinib, with placebo, and 13 months with masitinib. You can see, by the way, in the overall population that the median survival with placebo is 8.0 months, which is much higher than in the first study where it was 5.4, but masitinib was consistent between the two studies. Next slide. Next slide is the survival, but this time described as survival rate every 6 months. And as you can see, masitinib in the locally advanced unresectable populations. As you can see, masitinib increased the survival at each time point, and especially in year two, where people can survive. And you can see, for instance, that 18 months, there are 10% of placebo-treated patients who survive only, whereas it's 34% with masitinib, a relative risk ratio of improvement of 3.4, which is quite interesting to note. And at 2 years, it's only 3% of the patients surviving with placebo, but 15% with masitinib. So there are some patients who are able to survive long-term due to masitinib. Next slide. Next slide is the secondary endpoint. So it's important to check consistency. Here we have a consistency with the PFS, which measures the earlier of death or progression of the tumors. So no impact in the overall population, but an impact in the unresectable locally advanced, which is statistically significant, with an additional 1.8 months, which is completely consistent with the 1.8 months additional survival that we have seen in the primary analysis. The p-value is significant, and the hazard ratio, so the reduction of the risk of progression of death, is also completely consistent because it's 53%, it was 54% in survival. Next slide. Next slide is the response rate. It's important to note, we did not expect actually masitinib to change anything on the response rate versus gemcitabine alone because, as Olivier explained, it's an indirect effect. However, we can see in this study that even in the overall population, there is an increase in response rate, 8.2% partial response or complete response versus 5.9, including a complete response with masitinib in metastatic patients. And in unresectable locally advanced, even better, because placebo is doing 3% of response rate, whereas the masitinib is doing 15%, which is interesting. So masitinib has not only an effect on survival, also on PFS, and also on response rate. Next slide. The response rate is important for one thing, by the way, because some patients will be able to be resected, and it's important to have this option to be resected, although they were unresectable at baseline. So the next slide is on pain. It's important to check the hypothesis that masitinib acts on pain by reducing pain. And you can see that the orange line is the placebo, the blue line is the masitinib, so the blue line is always below death in change in pain than the orange line, including in the overall population. So there is an impact in pain as compared to the placebo. And in unresectable locally advanced, you can see this is even a reversal. There is a reduction of pain, whereas there's still an increase of pain with the placebo. And it is almost significant at all time points. So the hypothesis was correct. Masitinib acts by reducing pain, acts on pain, generating so on myself, and generates benefit in PFS, in response rate in PFS and in OS, consistently. Then the next slide is on the safety. So as you remember, we reduced the dose of masitinib from 9 mg per tick per day in the first study to 6 mg, and it has an impact because the safety is, more than acceptable, actually almost surprisingly good, because you can see that there are a little fewer AEs, but in terms of SAE, the fatal AEs are due to the disease progression, there is no difference, but there is a reduction of the non-fatal serious adverse events, 2 or 3%, which represent in relative risk 10%, and the severe AE are reduced. 75% with masitinib versus 83% with the placebo, so gem alone. So adding masitinib to gemcitabine actually leads to a reduction of severe AE and serious adverse events, which is quite rare because it's an add-on therapy, so we expect more, but nevertheless. But here, in this case, it's less. So the safety profile is favorable. More discontinuation, but it's essentially in the metastatic patients. And as you can see, fewer temporary interruptions and even fewer dose reduction, which is good. So the safety profile looks correct. Then we enter into the discussion on slide 19. So the discussion is on efficacy. We have to check that the survival additional benefit significant is not due to, let's say, in line 2 after discontinuation of treatment, this balance in chemotherapy taken by the patient. So it's very unlikely. Why? Because the benefit is done actually in first line in PFS. The 1.8 months of benefit survival is actually consistent with the 1.8 months of benefit in PFS. Also, we have to check that the placebo has not done surprisingly lower than expected. When you look at the literature in locally advanced pancreatic cancer, you can see the publications range with a median with gemcitabine ranging from 9 months to 13 months, but with an average of 11 months, which is exactly what we have done in our study, what we observed in the study, except that in the published study, patients have pain or no pain without any distinctions. And we know pain is a negative prognosis factor, so we could expect it actually an even lower. So a median of 11 months of survival with placebo in locally advanced pancreatic cancer and resectable is very very acceptable. And so we think that this data of survival is robust. Next slide. Next slide is the positioning of masitinib as compared to what exists in pancreatic cancer locally advanced. So first difference is our product is targeted for patients with pain, which is completely new because there are no other products that target patients with pain. Remember, pain as a negative prognostic factor, and also usually you do not resect, you don't really do surgery in patients with pain. The second differentiating factor is that it is only for unresectable locally advanced pancreatic cancer patients. So we can note that other products that are used, like Abraxane, has no label at this time in locally advanced pancreatic cancer. It's for patients with metastatic. And FOLFIRINOX is recommended also for metastatic pancreatic cancer. We know, of course, they are used by the practitioners. However, regulatory-wise, they do not have a label. And regulatory-wise, gemcitabine is the product of reference. And this study has compared masitinib with gemcitabine, so with the standard of care regulatory correct. Then, positioning versus FOLFIRINOX, what can we say? FOLFIRINOX is not eligible for everybody. It's only ECOG 0 and 1. We have few ECOG 2 in our studies in locally advanced pancreatic cancer. But the biggest difference is the age people. FOLFIRINOX is not used with age people, usually starting at 70-year-old, and we have patients in the order of 15-20% which have participated to our clinical studies, and so those patients cannot benefit from FOLFIRINOX and would be ideally suited for masitinib. Versus Abraxane, what we can say is that Abraxane is clearly a product which is used in the United States, but is infrequently used in Europe because it's not reimbursed. It's registered, but not reimbursed. So difficult for most of the hospitals to use Abraxane, which gives a differentiating position in medicine if we can get the price, of course. And the safety profile is different. Why? But you have seen it's very acceptable with gemcitabine by reducing SAEs and severe AE. And masitinib is not a chemotherapy like Abraxane or FOLFIRINOX, and so do not generate the same side effects. For instance, with chemotherapy, you can expect, you know, hematotox, peripheral neuropathy, sometimes irreversible, alopecia, mucositis, etc. And here we propose a targeted tyrosine kinase inhibitor with different safety profile. Next slide. Next slide is the next step. So the next step is to talk to the health authorities, both EMEA and FDA. And we have so some key and strong points in this study and in the clinical development program. And we have one limitation, which is this limited number of patients with 92 patients in the locally advanced. This could be maybe mitigated when discussing with the authorities with the following arguments. First, this is not an exposed data. These 92 patients locally advanced unresectable come from a prospective study with a pre-specified statistical claim, and this is regulatory correct. There is a strong p-value less than 1% on the primary analysis. This population is, this is medically relevant because we have a reduction of 54% of the risk of death, completely consistent with the other secondary endpoints. And we have, we still have to know that locally advanced unresectable pancreatic cancer is still one of the worst cancers. It's not only the metastatic, the locally advanced unresectable is considered as the third worst cancer in terms of prognosis. So there is a high unmet medical need, and masitinib benefits from an orphan drug status. So those arguments might be used to circumvent the limited number of patients. Also, there is another argument. When you look at the publications, there is no publications with more than this number of patients in the literature. And so this study is not small, actually. It's the biggest number of patients that we've been able to identify in the literature in a clinical study. And the safety is not a problem because we have, as you know, a huge safety database in oncology that goes beyond these 92 patients, of course. And the benefit risk for us is favorable. So these will be the arguments we will plead, so to speak, to EMA and FDA to see if we can file, and we're willing to look for recommendations of filing with this data and the three studies. The next slide is just the market potential. And so the market potential is what? We have to start with the locally advanced pancreatic cancer, which represents 35% roughly of the pancreatic cancer populations, and pain, which represents roughly 50%, although most of the patients will experience pain at one point in the course of their disease. So according to our calculations, that represents 12,000 patients in the USA. It will be the locally advanced pancreatic cancer unresectable with pain, and 16,500 in the EU, so short of 30,000. And we know the price of the compounds that have been registered recently. So that ends the presentation. And the next part of the talk is to receive your questions and answer them. And with me, of course, there will be Olivier, Hermine, and Julien Taïeb. So to answer your questions, you have two possibilities. You can ask it directly by phone, or you can send an email and we will receive your questions and we'll respond them.
Okay, I will take the first question in writing. So do you intend to evaluate other cancers without metastatic profile?
We can respond in two parts. Are we exploring today and will we in the future? So today we have two cancers in the clinical program of masitinib. The first one is pancreatic cancer, so you have seen it. And the second one is prostate metastatic cancer. So all patients are already metastasized. Still, we can maybe differentiate between early metastatic versus more advanced metastasis. Now, to your questions, do these data give us grounds, scientific grounds to explore?
Hello?
Yes?
Yes, it's Julien Taïeb.
Julien, thank you to join us. So you have been introduced, of course, as our KOL, and we are just starting the Q&A. And the first question was, on this basis, do we intend to explore non-metastatic other cancers? And so I was saying that the clinical program is pancreas and metastatic prostate. Metastatic prostate, we don't have the data. We will have it in Q1 2021. But in the future, with this data, do we want to try other cancers in, let's say, before tumors become metastatic or in adjuvant of any cancer? So I will leave it to you, Olivier, and to you, Julien, to see if it gives you, ground to use masitinib in other cancers.
Olivier, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what I should say is that what we have seen, and based on your mice model studies, is that masitinib play a critical role in the tumor microenvironment to prevent progression of the tumor. Obviously, not all tumors will depend on macrophages infiltration and mast cell infiltration. So if we make a something of a treatment with it driven by the biology of the tumors, we can expect such effects not only in pancreatic cancer, but in all tumors in which mast cells and macrophage infiltration has been shown to play a critical role in the progression of the tumors. And if you look at the literature, there's a lot of tumors in which we know that the tumoral microenvironment, which includes mast cells and macrophages, play a role in the progression of the disease. So here we have shown mainly a general mechanism of action. And most interestingly, at the scientific point of view, is that we can reduce also, as you have seen, the pain of the patient, which is very important in terms of clinical observation with proof, which proves what we have hypothesized in our mice model.
So what I can add, it's Julian, is only that we don't have so many I am only treating GI tumors, and that there are not so many GI tumor-inducing pain, but pancreatic cancer is especially worrying for that. We can have locally advanced rectal cancer that may be also a target because it's bad located and then has many symptoms, including pain, and some kind of gastric tumors also. But not for the other GI tumors, I think. We don't have this inflammatory reaction, this desmoid reaction, and this nerve infiltration due to inflammation.
I will take a similar question, another question on a similar topic. Does it imply that our clinical study in prostate cancer is less favorable because it includes patients with metastasis?
Olivier, you want to answer?
Can you repeat the question? And
the question is, does it imply that the study in pancreatic cancer, because it in prostate cancer, because it includes only metastatic patients, is likely to be negative, so to speak, because we show here that the metastatic patients suffering from pancreatic cancer is negative. So again, we will see when we unblind, and we have to wait until Q1 2021. But in prostate cancer, we can differentiate maybe between early metastasis and late metastasis. So it seems that masitinib might generate benefit for, I would say, patients at high risk to develop metastasis, like, for instance, the unresectable local advanced in pancreatic cancer, or at early stage of metastasis. And where masitinib is not good is in advanced stage. The problem in pancreatic cancer, I will leave it to Julien, the expert, is that when you are diagnosed in pancreatic cancer, patients who are diagnosed and metastatic, it's considered as already advanced because we take it too late. Julien, if you want to develop there.
Yes, but I think inflammation and pain is also present in metastatic cancer. It's mainly due to bone metastatic lesions that are very frequent in this disease, but it may not be too late. I think we have to look at the results because it may induce quite a substantial better quality of life for the patient, even in prostate cancer, and even if I am not an expert of prostate cancer.
Going back to pancreatic cancer, what is the percentage of pancreatic cancer without metastatic profile?
So this is quite clear. The data are quite robust. So we know that pancreatic cancer first is increasing very rapidly. It's going to be probably the third cause of cancer death very soon. In France, it was 5,000 cases in 2005 and 18,000 cases per year in 2018, and it's still growing. So first. Second, we know that approximately 15% of patients are operable initially with no metastasis. 25% are borderline resectable or locally advanced. and we have on the top of that the metastatic lesion. So I would say that for the locally advanced setting, including some borderline that is not so easy to resect, we may reach at least 20-25% of the population.
What are the next steps for this indication in locally advanced pancreatic cancer?
Alors, as we said, as far as we sponsor are concerned, we are going to discuss with EMEA and FDA because we have some regulatory strong arguments. In parallel, we are going with Julien, with others, to share this data with the scientific community and discuss, because regulatory is one thing, but not the only thing. and, of course, try to publish and go to scientific conferences.
And when do we expect a response from this health authority?
I would say it takes 6 months, usually.
And what would be the main reason agency should not accept to register based on this study?
Well, one of the reasons, as we mentioned, is the limited number of patients. If we had 300 or 400 patients in locally advanced pancreatic cancer, then it would be stronger, of course, to present. But we have 92 patients, that's a limitation. There are other drugs in other cancers who have been registered with fewer patients than that on surrogate endpoints, like a response rate. Here it's survival, but it's only 92 patients. So we don't know, okay? we have to discuss with the FDA and with the EMEA to know.
I will take one last question in writing, and then maybe we can take some questions orally. Masitinib is being tested in multiple indications, oncology and non-oncology indications. How are you managing resources?
Managing resources is human resources, most probably. In terms of organization, we were waiting for reading the phase 3, the late stage, to see how we organize the science. If the studies ended negative, then we could specialize in one, let's say, clear indications. But we have positive, multiple positive phase 2B3. And so it seems that we have four therapeutic areas in AB science. The first one is neurology, with neurodegenerative disease, three of them, ALS, MS, and Alzheimer, still to be known because we don't have the data yet. And then the second one is inflammatory disease with mastocytosis and asthma, positive here already. And we have cancer. Cancer was a question mark. So this study opens the door to oncology, and we're waiting for prostate, so we keep now oncology. And the fourth one, as you know, is infectious disease with COVID, which is completely opportunistic, but we have an antiviral with masitinib. So we intend to organize by therapeutic area, okay, more and more, and we'll start the necessary resources to human and financial to do the necessary next clinical studies if EMEA ask us to do. Julien, I know that your time is constrained because you have some other commitments. Before you leave, I would like to give you a free tribune to say whatever you want to say about this data.
I think that locally advanced disease is quite challenging because, of course, for the patient, it's to go to resection and to be improved in overall survival is quite difficult. There is still a hope for cure in some of these patients, so it's a very challenging population. We're not only controlling symptoms and the prolonged survival, but also bring back some patients to surgery for some of them or to closure radiotherapy that may result in a long-lasting control of the disease. So I think it's difficult to move forward in this population. Of course, Some chemotherapeutic regimen more intensive are also tested, as you probably mentioned. But remember that these patients are not always in very, very good condition. So having also a treatment that improves gemcitabine that is generally well tolerated is valuable. So I think that these results are quite interesting. You remind everyone that the numbers were a bit low, but this is still with quite significant difference, so it's a very good result. And we haven't seen that since a long time. The last big trial published in JAMA tried to add radiotherapy systematically after chemotherapy, because we know that starting with radiotherapy is not a good option from the 2000s, and it shows that radiotherapy in all patients was not so necessary or did not improve significantly. So I think it makes a long time we haven't seen anything improving the outcome of these patients.
Thank you, Julien, for your help in developing masitinib, and we hope to do a nice publication.
Melanie, do we have any oral questions at this time?
Thank you. For the moment, we have no question by phone, but ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. The first question by phone comes from Kay McCreary from Surgeon. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you. In the U.S., with the availability of Abraxane, how would you view the slotting of masitinib?
So, I can still answer that. I'm still here. If you want, Anna, I would say that Abraxane is currently not validated in locally advanced. We have only the best evidence is only a phase 2 trial by Philip that was published this year, so a few months ago. Showing quite interesting results, but we still don't have any randomized data that will probably come in 2 to 3 years. So for now, GEMS remain the standard of care, and in Europe, FOLFIRINOX is also developed. But we will not have the result of this randomized controlled trial before a few years from now.
So for Dr. Julien, if masitinib is approved and available, how would you use it then in your locally advanced patients? Would that become your next drug of choice?
Yeah, probably. Probably. I think we will have a three situations. First, you stick to the regulatory registration that is more or less obliged in many countries, but sometimes you can go a bit on narrow path. But if you do that, yes, it will be, if it's registered, the standards. You are still wanted to do more by using upfront Abraxane or FOLFIRINOX in these patients. I would say once again that not all the patients are eligible for more aggressive treatments, and masitinib plus gemcitabine is quite well tolerated and not so intensive as compared to gemabraxane or to FOLFIRINOX. And we will still have, I think, a significant subset of patients that will benefit from this and that will be eligible for this kind of intermediate aggressive treatment.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I have to leave you to go back to my ESMO teaching advanced course. So, Alain, don't hesitate to ask a question by email later on, and I will answer.
Julien, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
I take another question in writing. Is compassionate use possible in this indication?
Yes. Well, compassionate use is as framework, depending on the countries, but we like to serve the scientific community, so if we can be helpful, we are. We have compassionate use, masitinib is already used, is compassionate use in many indications, not something we publicize naturally, but yes, it's possible.
Maybe one last question. AB Science is finalizing debt financing from the European Investment Bank for 30 million euros. Is this financing conditioned to the positive results that we had in pancreatic cancer?
No. First, this. Alors, we have signed a first loan to develop to support the development of MASDIV in COVID. 15 million euro of loan, and we are in discussion, advanced discussion, for another 30 million loan for the remaining indications, but they are not conditioned by, or they will not be conditioned by any success, just to execute the program. So we have a heavy program that requires support, and we have captured the, I would say, the not only the attention, but the validation of the European Investment Bank through diligence of all of our indications. And it seems that, well, we're sure that they're interested by the COVID, otherwise they would not have signed the loan, but they are also interested by the other indications. One of the reasons, there are a couple of reasons, but one is that they are all huge unmet medical needs. And when I say unmet medical needs, it means no drug. It doesn't mean, you know, a series of drugs that you can do better. It's or small indications. It's huge indications with no drug, like Alzheimer, like others. And so they want to help. And they consider that masitinib is advanced enough now to be to deserve financial support at the highest level, so the European level. And we are pursuing the discussion with them to make them sign, of course, but it's a sign that is very positive in the development, as a milestone in the program. It gives a clear indication of the interest of our program and the possibility to register one day. Do we have any question?
There is no more question by phone. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that if you wish to ask a question by phone, please press 01.
Okay, so we covered the questions for Pancreas and beyond. Thank you for your attention and your participation from the different parts of the world. We'll continue to develop so masitinib in other indications. Next step is Alzheimer's disease readout. Before Christmas, we said publicly, so not a lot of time to wait. And Q1 next year will be the prostate cancer, then we've finished reading, and then there is the COVID, because as you know, we have engaged into a study, phase two, that should be available in 2021, but that's another talk. So, certainly have the pleasure to discuss or receive your questions on other topics soon. Thank you very much and take care. Bye.